Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got 'em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a clowning with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Bacella, and I also have a trading problem.
My name is Memphis Young, and I have a trading problem tonight.
Just tonight.
Just tonight.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 298 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. Bad, you weren't paying attention for a second, Rob,
but
we just did it anyway. Oh, it's that time. It is speculation season. It is the non-point scoring season. It is almost rookie season. It is Black Monday season. You know what? Before we get into the seasons, because again, I always get so excited to start talking. Memphis, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Well, my name's Randy Young. I go by Memphis at DWZ Memphis. If you're on X, I host the Dynasty Warzone. I have for going on 6 years now with my co-host Jerry. We are simulcast on the Player Profiler Network as well as our own network, the Dynasty Warzone Network, if you will. And I have a dynasty problem. My trading problem. I don't want to say but you will say we're in Trade Addict 7 together.
Yep.
I make a fair amount of trades. I think absolutely. I'm right up there with the most active, and I send more than go through. Obviously, you don't see the ones that don't go through, but I'm always trying to keep it active.
So I'm
super creeping. Okay. Yeah, you have that.
Creeping on everyone's offers. Yeah.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
No, that would be weird. By the way, Memphis and Jerry, fantastic fantasy football people, fantastic podcast, fantastic human beings. If you don't absorb their content, you should go do it. Consume. That was the word I was going for, but for some reason absorb came out. It worked. It was fine. I could have left it alone and it would have been fine, but I'm still talking about it. I don't know why. Okay, so let's move on to all of the things that I was alluding to before. We're going to talk about some news. And again, as human beings, you never really celebrate someone losing their job. Of course, sure Arthur Smith is going to be fine. you do 3 seconds of research knowing, the giant comfortable pillow he's going to land on. You could be a little excited that Arthur Smith is no longer the coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
I think the entire fantasy community is excited. Arthur Smith is no longer going to be the coach of the Falcons.
What a sigh of relief.
Well, for now, we have no clue what kind of maniac Arthur Blank could throw in there.
It can't be as bad as it was.
Can it get worse?
Exactly.
I mean, what if he hires Matt Nagy? I'm not saying he's going to. But there are a lot of bad options. And like, we're going to talk about the ones that we know that are open, but Schefter initially reported there may be as many as 8 to 9 openings. And I asked, my friends, I'm like, are there 8 or 9 good candidates to fill these jobs? Where are they coming from?
Well, I mean, we are seeing Vrabel, which isn't on the sheet, by the way. The Titans and Vrabel, the first like two tweets I saw made it seem like it was mutual, and then it slowly turned into the Titans let him go. I mean, that dude's going to be unemployed for about 30 seconds, and as soon as he can get hired, he will, I'm sure. But Bieniemy needs to be a coach somewhere. Like, I think there's going to be enough young OCs and DCs. And I love the amount of linebackers that we grew up watching that are coaches now. Grew up is a strong word because, I mean, Vrabel was in the 2000s, right? But like Vrabel and D'Amico Ryans and Antonio Pierce and like all of these guys, it's just a lot of fun. But the thing is, like, just because they're linebackers, that doesn't mean their teams have bad offense. Like, you know, it seems like these guys at least let the people on offense run their offense. Like, I'm not like, it's hard to believe it can't get worse, because you have to figure the first question when someone walks into that room to coach the Atlanta Falcons is, what will you do with Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts? Show me.
Yes.
Like that has to be like it.
I want to know what they do at the quarterback position, because I know dynasty and fantasy analysts want to see Kyle Pitts more involved. But if you go look at the number of targets that he had compared to the number of targets that Cole Kmet had, they're virtually the same, except Cole Kmet's quality of targets allowed him to be the tight end six. So it's great that we can get these guys more volume, but if it's more bad volume, we're not going to get the traction we want. I would love to see them go after a Kirk Cousins. I know everybody wants Justin Fields, but if you really want fantasy points for Bijan and Drake London and Kyle Pitts, you want Kirk Cousins.
Oh, that would be beautiful. Like, honestly, like, and to me, that's a beautiful move, because it's like, of course, after the injury, it's a bit of a bad phrase to say, but it's like the definition of stability. Like, Cousins is a good quarterback, a good thrower of the ball. It's not someone who depends on mobility. And when you're coming off of what you're coming off of, like, usually you don't want to overcorrect and go like hire some 17-year-old offensive coordinator who's coming off a good year, a rookie QB that, you know, that is flash in the pan but isn't very accurate. Like, that's not really, to me, the right move. I almost said something that could be taken too literally, but like, because the Commanders fired Ron Rivera, so it's like, go get Ron Rivera, stabilize your team. Like, Rivera was perfect for what they needed. They've just moved past him, I think. And it was time for him to go. Like, and he can, if he wants to, because again, another dude that's been coaching forever, like, if he wants to, he could probably walk into another coaching job. And I don't think any team is worse off for having him. Oh man, Frank saying, all you need is London Fletcher and you complete the set. That is a great pull. Great name.
And with Kirk Cousins, we've seen he can support multiple receivers, a tight end. Dalvin Cook had multiple great years with Kirk Cousins. I mean, I would love Kirk Cousins. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I would love it.
And we were talking before we started actually talking the show that, you know, Russell Wilson's going to be somewhere new. And I mean, unfortunately, hold on. I have Tankathon pulled up. I mean, Atlanta finished at 8. They're probably not getting a quarterback at 8, like, or at least they shouldn't. Like, I'm assuming, because at
that
least
feels too early for Penix. Because
yes,
because I was looking at Tankathon as well, and the first three are all quarterbacks. They've got Williams, May, Daniels, and then they have Penix going to the Vikings. Speaking of Kirk Cousins, so. Yeah. Free agent quarterbacks on the market. You can tell me any of these guys you want in Hotlanta. Use Cousins, Tannehill, Jacoby Brissett, Tyrod Taylor, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Gardner Minshew, Joe Flacco, Carson Wentz.
I really think Baker stays.
I think he does too.
I was going to say, even if it was someone like Baker, that's still such an upgrade.
Such an upgrade.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, Tannehill would be an upgrade.
Or Russell Wilson, even later day Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell Wilson had a good year this year.
Yeah. Russell Wilson with the right offensive coordinator and the right offense, like when he was with Shane Waldron and some of those guys in Seattle, if you get the right OC with those kind of receivers, maybe add another speedier guy, I guess. That could be a really good offense.
You know, it's fine.
Yeah. And it's a good receiver.
Also, don't forget, like, running backs have also done really well behind Russell Wilson. So, like, again, that would be another great fit. Okay, so we talked about Arthur Smith. We're probably going to talk about him more. I'm sure there's got to be a question about it. The Commanders fire Ron Rivera. As a reminder, the Raiders, Chargers, and Panthers are already open. The Jets will try to trade Zach Wilson this offseason, from Rappaport. Joe Douglas also said they will pursue a veteran backup for Aaron Rodgers.
Good luck trading Zach Wilson.
Yeah, you'd be lucky to get a bag of balls. Here's one of those white perforated laundry bags full of footballs used.
I just say literally any like below replacement level quarterback has been better than Zach Wilson in the Jets offense.
You know, but we were talking too before we went live. There's enough hubris in the NFL. There's enough arrogance in the NFL that there's going to be. And we were referring to Sean Payton because we were curious about who he's going to replace, you know, Russell Wilson with in Denver. It's like there's going to be an OC or a head coach out there somewhere that says we can fix Zach Wilson. He never got a fair shake. And, you know, at this point, it's like everybody's always trying to find the next Josh Allen, that raw toolsy quarterback that just blows up and is like a dynasty, like cornerstone. You know, now everybody's looking for the next Geno Smith. Hey, who's the guy that was an absolute bust that we can go out and get two or three good fantasy seasons out of? Yep. And so we're always going to give these guys another shot. I'll tell you right now, if Sam Darnold or Carson Wentz winds up in Denver, I'm going to be like Al Pacino in Godfather 3. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
Yeah, there's going to be the cheap QB2 parade. If they end up in starting positions, it'll be fun to watch. I will have no part of that. Happy news. Puka Nacua broke the rookie record for yards and catches. Is he a top 12 dynasty wide receiver?
For me, he was just outside the top 12. I just did my top 12 last week. He's in that next group, that 13 to 16 for me. I couldn't, as good as he's been, I couldn't put him ahead of Michael Pittman Jr. And I'll tell you, a guy that I moved up is DJ Moore. I mean, you guys would agree that AJ Brown is the wide receiver 3 to 5, depending on where you get your dynasty rankings.
Yeah.
The age difference between AJ Brown and DJ Moore is 77 days. So why do we
tell me that DJ Moore is still 24 years old, and I'll believe you.
He's 26. They're literally 70. I did the math for our show last week. And why are we not having DJ Moore higher? And I was like, I'll be honest.
He never lived up to what we wanted him to be when he was drafted.
But he's just been so solid. And I was like, I don't think the Bears will keep Justin Fields. But if they do, I'm probably going to have him in my top 8 to 10. Because if you tell me I can have 26, soon to be 27-year-old DJ Moore with his age 27, 28, 29, and maybe even 30 season, I can figure out a long-term replacement. Give me 3 years of excellence with DJ Moore over, say, a Chris Olave or a Michael Pittman or a Brandon Ayuk.
And I'm wondering, too, if people realize DJ Moore had finally, I think, had a wide receiver one season this year. I was just looking at his
10th. I mean, I didn't realize that, but I also haven't even really looked. But I also didn't know he had a good season.
Yeah, 10th in points per game, slightly higher, actually, in total points. And, yeah, we've always been upset he never got that. And he's not, you know, wide receiver two, like we hoped back at his rookie season second year. But he finally hit that. We've always complained he was always a mid to low end two. He actually was a low end one this year.
So championship week, I had Jalen Waddle on the team, and I wanted to win. So I offered Waddle straight up for Puka Nacua, and it got rejected, saying that this person preferred Puka straight up.
It's fair there. I mean, there's a nice gap in like 13 through like 18 wide receivers. I mean, guys like Puka, guys like DK Metcalf. Nico Collins has crept up there for me. I've always been lower on T. Higgins, and I see his name right over your shoulder than most, but he's about ready to jump up. I don't think the Bengals can afford to franchise tag him or sign him long term. And so he's going to go somewhere. So that will change his value. But you get into that 13 through 18, there's a ton of value right there. It's like if I was doing a startup today and I had like in a 1QB and like that 110, 111 range, I'm probably double tapping wide receiver right there. And I'm going to go out and try to find you know, the next Kyren Williams or Rashad White type player, because there's so much stability and points to be had at the wide receiver position right now.
Yeah, Frank brings up the one thing that I don't know, and like three quarters of the way through the season, I was sitting here saying that the Texans have a nice, you know, cap situation, and they're in that place where they have their quarterback. They're going to need a running back, but like they're going to want more weapons. And it felt like Nico Collins was more easily replaced than, and Tank Dell was the real deal. But after the past couple of games, I don't know, because you know, like I said, the Texans have a lot of cap space. T. Higgins is going to walk onto a team and be their wide receiver one. And that would just make me very happy if it was that team. But I don't know, man. Like after what Nico did the past couple of games, I'm a little less worried about it, but I do think that's going to be in a lot of people's minds about Nico being replaced. I mean, if you don't think he will, then it's absolutely, you know, buying season on him.
Yeah, you're buying him. I mean, kind of like Puka. You know, we remember the great year Chris Godwin had, and we thought that was going to last forever. And Chris Godwin's been a fine wide receiver, 2-3. He's battled some injuries. But the elder veteran, Mike Evans, continues to produce. And I know Cooper Kupp was banged up again this year, but Cooper Kupp's still going to have a prominent role in that offense.
Yeah.
So is it a Godwin's Evan type thing? That was kind of some of my rationale of not keeping, quote unquote, keeping Puka down.
Yeah.
But I don't want to buy these guys at the top of their market. I'll take the more consistent DJ Moore types just a little bit ahead, because I may not get the super highs, but then again, I may, because DJ Moore had a couple of monster games this year. But yeah, those are guys you got to keep on the radar. What I would prefer to do is either hang on to Nico Collins, or I'm trying to find next year's Nico Collins. Who's the guy who's been in the league for a year or two that's, you know, whose situation could change and we could profit off of.
And with Nico, what I don't see why the Texans would be making wide receiver priority. Are we forgetting they also have Tank Dell? Like, they have Tank Dell and Nico Collins. Why would you be priority? Like, yes, could they bring in another wide receiver? Yes, but
they have the ability to bring in someone better.
But why do they even have a first round pick?
No.
Yes, they have They have Cleveland's pick.
Oh yeah, they have Cleveland's pick at 27.
They have Cleveland's pick and traded their pick to Arizona in the Will Anderson deal.
I mean, could they draft a day two guy? Maybe. I don't see why you'd be using a first round pick on wide receiver
when this is shown one of the drafts to be able to get a very good wide receiver in round two. Yeah. Anyway.
And I think with the defensive head coach, they're going to continue to, but I could see offensive line. I could see wanting to help the young quarterback. So there is a possibility. I'm looking at the veteran free agent market, and it's pretty loaded. I mean, you got Michael Pittman is a pending free agent. You've got your boy T. Higgins, Calvin Ridley, and then you got Mike Evans. So those would be the big three: Higgins, Pittman, Mike Evans. I think maybe Mike Evans and Nico Collins do too much of the same thing, kind of. Yeah,
that would be a little weird.
Yeah, I think the bigger concern is maybe trading for somebody. Like, I would love to get my man Terry McLaurin the hell out of Washington. Ugh, please and thank you.
Please.
Well, but he may get a quarterback.
Like, if they promote Bieniemy and draft the young quarterback, they might not be bad. Like, I want to be optimistic, but it's the Manders, so it's tough to be positive.
Well, I think and they're going to draft a quarterback. Currently, they're projected to draft Drake May. And maybe they go Jaden Daniels, but there's going to be a new quarterback there.
Yeah.
So,
which makes me sad. I like Sam
Howell. I do too. I think I heard about Sam Howell, and it's actually, I heard the same thing about Jalen Hurts over the last few games, is that their eye level is coming down, that they've been getting so beat up lately that they just eventually you stop looking for the push the ball down the field. But I hope Howell gets another season. I just don't think he will.
Not here, at least. Like, maybe so, yeah. In a year or two, he ends up somewhere else.
Sam Howell to Atlanta. There it is.
There you go. But I mean, don't forget, he was, what, like a fifth-round pick? So, you know, he's not a lot of money, so he could be cut or moved pretty easily.
Before he was even drafted, when I do watch guys, and he was one of the guys I watched, I made a little note that I think of him, I thought he was a career backup. And I think he totally proved that this year. He's good enough he can come in and win you a couple games, and bad enough you do not want him starting your entire season.
He's Gardner Minshew with less swag.
Yes.
Exactly. All those mid-level guys, Minshew just has that personality.
But that's okay. You can go back up. You can go hold a clipboard for Patrick Mahomes or Brock Purdy. You can make $4 or $5 or $7 million a year, live in a cool city, have a great life. It's a good life for a man named Sam Howell.
Backup quarterbacks, like one of the best jobs in the world.
Yeah.
What was that? It was Luke McCown, right? Who just like was a backup for 15 years in the league. And just,
him and Chase ended up Daniels. Doing,
like, Verizon commercials as a backup.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was an Eagle at one point too. Backup. Yes.
All right. So the last thing we have written down is AJ Brown and Sam Laporta both avoided major knee injuries despite looking bad at the time, though I have no idea what their actual injuries are or how long they'll be out.
I haven't heard, if you're going to ask, I haven't heard anything on AJ Brown yet either. So
I was hoping he'd come
out. I was relying on Rocky on that one. He's got the Eagle shirt on. I just know Laporta has a hyperextension and has a quote unquote outside chance to play this weekend.
They're going to rush him back for the playoffs and it's going to ruin things. But I guess at least it's the end of the season, so he'll just be able to just rest until.
As long as it's not an ACL or an, you know, a complete tear or something, then it's fine.
Yeah. Okay, so we only have three trades because, I mean, the championship just happened. So let's go through those because we have a decent amount of listener questions. So Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage except for TA1. In TA2, someone traded the 106 for T. Higgins, and I was sad that I didn't get T. Higgins.
I mean,
Russ is always sad.
That's right there.
This is the second league this week I didn't get T. Higgins, and I saw him go to another team.
Because it's a super flex league, and you're going to have three quarterbacks. You're going to have, again, Daniels, May, and Williams. You have the big three wide receivers. You got Neighbors, Harrison Jr., and Adunze. So T. Higgins is right there. I think that's fair. If you would rather have the veteran, and the person who gave up the 106 is probably gambling on him winding up in a better spot.
Yep.
Because if he doesn't, if for some reason T. Higgins gets franchised or re-signs in Cincinnati, then the 106 is the clear winner. But if you're
with a healthy Joe Burrow, like, I'm not sad about him staying in Cincinnati. But I agree with you. This really comes down to like Adunze or Bowers or whoever we're about to talk about, like that wide receiver right there. Like, and that place, me with my 100% personal bias, you know, give me T. Higgins there. Maybe that changes once, like, I, you know, start watching and seeing a lot of rookie stuff, and maybe I fall in love with a wide receiver or two. But clearly, you know, not counting Harrison Jr. and Neighbors, because that they're no secret. Like, they're that good. But yeah, this is fair. This is absolutely fair. And if that's the case, give me Higgins.
I agree with both. Yeah, it's exactly like what Memphis said and what you said. It's right there value-wise. And I'm with you. I want the guy I know when I'm getting out of him. Yes, could 106 be better than T. Higgins? Yes. Could 106 be Laquon Treadwell? Also, yes. So who was actually like a 101 in a lot of drafts. So I'll take the guy I know what I'm getting from. It might only be high-end wide receiver 2 production, something like that. But I definitely think there's upside for more if he goes elsewhere. So I'll take Higgins over the pick.
If Higgins is a Chief, he's wide receiver blank. Man, I don't even know if that's
nine,
a thing anymore.
Nine? Yeah. He's right there. He's right there, 8-9. I mean, probably he would be in that. He'd be in that Olave, Garrett Wilson, in that type of a range.
He's going to have some competition from Rice, though. Rice is looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing about going to the Chiefs is those two guys kind of do a similar thing. Obviously, Arizona is the projected spot for Marvin Harrison Jr., but they've got $52 million in salary cap. That could be a decent spot. The New England Patriots, potentially with a new quarterback and Jaden Daniels. And a new head coach and new everything. They have $75 million. And I'm then the Tennessee,
be good with that.
And then the Tennessee Titans, he could be catching balls from Will Levis. You just don't know. Carolina Panthers, they're 13th.
That's the one I want.
Carolina Panthers have got a ton of cap space. So the New York Giants with Daniel Jones and Brian Daboll, there's another possibility.
I would get to go see T. Higgins play. Well, I'd rather he go to the Jets. They're cheaper. But,
And they're in cap hell, but they could clearly use him, the L.A. Chargers.
Yes.
They are currently $35 million over the cap. So they have some spending issues to take care of. But there's some spots he could land. I mean, Calvin Ridley's a free agent. What if they end up making him the key piece in Jacksonville, along with Kirk and Evan Ingram? That'd be pretty solid.
Bring back Ridley.
Ridley's going to be gone, I think.
They're my two favorite wide receivers, and I would just love.
Okay. But yeah, I'm clearly higher.
Like, they don't really need to be on the same team, but like that would just make me happy.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, so let's move on to trade addict six: AJ Brown for Jordan Addison and the 205.
I mean, this is AJ Brown by a sizable bit. I mean, 205 is going to be a nice pick this year. Probably that's the range from what early research I've done. That'll probably be like that running back range that you'd be looking to pick up that second round running back.
Yeah.
But Jordan Addison's, I mean, he's never going to be the one in his own offense. Yeah, Justin Jefferson.
Plenty of teams where the number two can still be a top 20 wide receiver pretty easily.
This is
and
true,
not because the one goes out.
And we see AJ Brown out there. I don't know.
I agree with you. I'm not like arguing. Like,
right. No, I just
AJ Brown. Like, I remember, you know, it's one of those things where you talk to people and then you forget that they're in that league with you. This was J Mike who made the trade, and J Mike put it in a group chat where I was in, and I'm like, oh, AJ Brown for sure. And then I'm like, wait, the situation sounds familiar. And then I go and I look at TA6. I'm like, no, yeah, you should absolutely still do that. To me, this is AJ Brown. Because the reason he was hesitant is because he loves Jordan Addison, and I do too. He's very, very, very good. But like, it's AJ Brown. You just go get AJ Brown.
Yeah. I saw this come through, and it's way light for me. I know AJ Brown tailed off a bit towards the end of the year, but AJ Brown is a stud. We hope Jordan Addison is a stud, but he's not anywhere close yet to what AJ Brown has done.
No. And last trade we have is Russell Wilson for Najee Harris. I saw this go through and I'm just like, what?
Yeah. It was kind of my reaction.
What?
That really is a trade addict's trade. You're just like, you're just trading to trade at that point. You're just trading sadness for pain. Yep. I mean, it sounds like it probably met the needs of a couple of teams. Like, some team probably needed a little running back help. Other team probably had three or four quarterbacks. Russell Wilson for Najee. Let's just get a deal done.
Yeah, right? Like, it really just
– I don't get me wrong.
Like, I like the idea of going and get Russell Wilson right now.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I mean, because Russell Wilson, kind of like the same thing as T. Higgins, you know he's going to be starting somewhere.
Yep.
And the range – of outcomes could be, oh my God, that's terrible, to oh my God, that's intriguing. If he goes to Atlanta, that's intriguing. If he goes to New England, it's like, oh my God, that's terrible. So there's such a range of outcomes. But if you're just wanting like that QB3, and Russell Wilson, in spite of not playing three full games this year, finished as the QB14. So he was a high-end QB2 last year for those of us that play Superflex. Najee kind of had a better back half of the season once Mason Rudolph came in. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Value-wise? No. I mean, like, it's Russell Wilson. In a Superflex league, it's Russell Wilson. But, like, I like Najee Harris. Like, I still think he can walk in and be a workhorse. Of course, Warren showed enough that he's not going off the field. But I still believe in Najee Harris being that good.
So Najee Harris.
Go ahead.
RB3 overall the last 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, see? Fun stuff like that. Like, I firmly believe that Najee Harris is good. And if you also are that into Harris and just don't care about Russell Wilson, sure. It's one of those, like, okay, whatever. Sure.
Yeah, To me, it's easily Wilson, but yeah, I think nobody wants Najee. I know that, you know, small sample size, RB3, all that, but nobody's really all that interested in Najee Harris at this point. And no one's that interested in Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson at least is giving you quarterback points and giving you a starter at a scarce position. So Russell Wilson easily.
All right, so let's move on to listener questions. The first one. Tacit Assassin 13 with the most Zach question ever. ROI, Roy means king in French. The French are famous for their culinary prowess. Which player gets your Michelin star at each position? Top dynasty QB, RB, wide receiver, and tight ends. And what food would each be? You have to go, on a journey whenever Zach talks.
Yeah. That I don't know the food comparison. I know my QB one. Is Josh Allen. He's been the QB one, three of the last 4 years, he's been top six at the position 5 years in a row. And I don't see him slowing down, responsible for like 43 or 44 touchdowns this year. He gets my gold star for dynasty, for fantasy. He's Wyoming, a big steak. He's a big, beautiful bone in tomahawk steak. How about that?
Love it.
Give that for Zach. My top running back is going to be a little fancy for some, but I think he's just scratching the surface, and it was between him and Bijan Robinson, but I really like Jahmyr Gibbs, and I really like Jahmyr Gibbs in that offense in Detroit. He's caviar. Ooh. He's an acquired taste. Not everybody's going to have him as the 101, but he is up there. CD Lamb is my wide receiver one. He's in, obviously, this is going to be the Borea to Tears take throughout the offseason. We've got him and Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase in a tier, which is true, but someone's got to be number one. And for me, it's CD Lamb because he has Dak Prescott, and Jamar Chase is number two just because he's had a few injuries. He had a hip here, he had a shoulder there. But CD's been constantly healthy. Man, I don't know. I don't know. I already use steak. I don't have a well-rounded palate.
just everything's gonna be chicken fingers and fries.
It's a carnivore month. He's a nice New York strip. And then my tight end one. I'm fine if you have Laporta. If that's your guy, but I kind of a little worried about, like, I got the knee, and can he do this for a long term? I still like Mark Andrews, you know, and he's my one, but it's a super close bunch. And as far as a food, I don't know. He's last. He's dessert. He is a nice bananas Foster.
Ooh, great choice. Yes.
I don't know. I can't do food takes, so I can just name who would be my top guys. Go for but it. I agree mostly with a lot of what Memphis said. I think it's got to be Josh Allen at one, especially given Mahomes down year, Hurts down year. So Mahomes at one. I mean, Allen at one at quarterback. Running back, I still am going to put Bijan there, even though I know Gibbs had the better season. I still love Bijan's talent. With Arthur Smith getting fired, I have the hope. So he may prove this wrong next season, even with a new coach, that he shouldn't be at one. But that's where I'm going to put him. Wide receiver one is still Justin Jefferson for me. I know he was hurt a lot this year, but the dude had, I think he had 1,000 yards or almost 1,000 yards, even though he missed half the season or something like that. I think he had 100 yards in every game or something like that. He's was still really, ridiculously really productive, even with the time he missed. And he hadn't been having major injury issues before this year. And I for me, CeeDee Lamb would be two over Chase. I know it's been like Jefferson Chase since they both came in the league pretty much, but I would have Lamb over Chase.
Rocky, your Justin Jefferson stats were close. You had both. He averaged 100 yards. He played 10 games, had 1,074 yards.
Yeah.
So he averaged 100 yards a game in 10 games, over 1,000.
See, that's yeah, that's Rocky to a T. He knows what he's talking about, but he's like 9/10 the way there.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's me. And then
he's a Rubik's Cube with one yellow square on the red.
Exactly. Perfect analogy. And I would have Laporte at one at this point. He's just, I know the knee, but it's not an ACL. So, I mean, I believe if like they were to make the Super Bowl or something, I think he'd be back is what they're, you know, I think it's possibly a multi-week injury, but not like season ending. So, I'm not too worried about the injury. He produced ridiculously well for a rookie tight end and the age. Andrews is up there, but I mean, he is going to be what, 29 next season, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, and Kelsey is obviously showing signs of decline, and is super old. Hockenson is the only one that's close for me, but he now has the even more major injury. But I loved what we saw out of Hockenson this year. I've been hoping for this season for since he came into the league. I've loved TJ Hockenson, and we finally got it, and then that had to happen because we can't have nice things.
Can't have nice things. 2023 was definitely a year of can't have nice things. So I'm going to make it a sweep where Josh Allen is my QB1. To me, he's tacos, tacos are just great. And the thing is, they're great in many aspects. And just like Josh Allen could get you fantasy points in many aspects. You can go hard shell. You can go soft shell. You can go almost any kind of meat, any kind of veggie and sauce. There's so much you can do. And Josh Allen can throw, run, anything you need him to do to get you points. I'm there. He's still a QB1. RB1, I'm going to stick with Bijan, even though I don't even know, man. Like, I still just want to say Christian McCaffrey. Like, throw age to the wind. One of those things, like, Christian McCaffrey is going to be the one until he decides not to be. But I'm going to say Bijan. And to me, it's like a restaurant that came so highly regarded that you went to, and it's like, it was pretty good. It wasn't great. I think I need to go again. I need to try this again because you know what it can be, but it wasn't there just yet. And Frank saying no love for Brees, if he wasn't a Jet, he would probably be my one. Like, that's
if he didn't have the knee, he would be my one. If he, I mean, you can't take back ACLs, he still played very well coming off of it. And not to say that he won't have a great career, but if I have to choose a guy who I think those guys are in that equally as talented tier, I'll just take the guy with no ACL history. That's the lean.
That doesn't even bother me. It's literally just like I can see four games of him with Aaron Rodgers and that offense doing well, and in season I'll change. But like right now, I'm just going to stick with Bijan because the ceiling is like the roof is open for him to go through the ceiling, but like with Brees, like there's a fan on top. Like we're talking like Willy Wonka bubbles, and you know, not the glass elevator, but the one, you know, the
fizzy lifting drink.
I kept going to say fizzy bubbling drink, and that's wrong because I'm thinking of Zohan, the fizzy bubbler. Wide receiver, I'm sticking with Justin Jefferson. Like Justin Jefferson is like he's like pizza. He's just good. There's no bad. There's just, it's good. Tight end, I'm like, I don't know. Because my default is, again, just to say Travis Kelce until he doesn't want to be, but he might not want to be anymore. Like, he's pulled down from a couple of contested catches. Like, maybe he's done. Maybe he is retiring. I'm going to be so sad if he does. But, like, if it's not Kelce, I think it's going to be Hockenson. Again. I'm not. If Hockenson just said, I'm going to play week 1, I'll be like, okay, I believe you. I'm done thinking that injuries take a certain amount of time because these people aren't human anymore. So I'm willing to say, sure, that's fine. Go for it. And I don't really know. I don't have a good analogy for that. And I asked people what was their goal for the non-point scoring season. And Zach says, my non-point scoring season goal is to watch rookies so I can tell Russ who's good. Yes, please, hurry up. I need to know what's going on. People keep going on, like, asking rookie questions, and I don't know anything yet, Zach, so get the hootenanny going. Next question, at Dynasty Beach Boy. I should have taken the sip of water before I started the question. Nope. Kenny asks, non-point scoring season goal is to make my teams better through trading instead of the rookie draft. In some leagues, I have traded for firsts and already traded them away. There's nothing wrong with that, that you're making your team better. Although he's saying that was his goal. What I like doing is, especially in teams where I'm rebuilding, I like trading and getting like 4 or 5 firsts. Trade half away, draft half of them. Like, you still get the pleasure of making multiple first round picks, but you still trade them away to get stuff that you know is good. Like, you know, go get T. Higgins instead of the risk on the wide receiver.
Yeah, and I'm in a league where I've got the 3, 4, and 5. And even though it's a super flex tight end premium league, it's like that's going to be that pocket where a lot of people are going to want to either come get a quarterback or a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I don't need to take 3 wide receivers. And in this particular league where I have them, part of the reason why I'm drafting so high is because I had Joe Burrow and Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
I don't need to draft a quarterback either. I just had some injury bad luck in this particular league. So I could agree. I would easily move one of the, or maybe even 2 of those picks for something better.
Yep.
Because I don't need another wide receiver there or another quarterback there, but someone who does might be willing to give me a player that I like in their 25 first. So we'll play that by ear, but I have no problem with that strategy at all.
Yep, I love it. And by the way, that's what we call Brock Bowers season in that spot you're in.
Man, Brock Bowers is going to be – I'm already preparing myself for the hype. It is what it is. I think the failure to meet expectations, not that he's been bad, but
yep. –
I know Kyle Pitts has not lived up to expectations. Therefore, I think there's going to be a lot more of a moderate approach to Bowers. I think there'll be some excitement, but not like that level.
I'm exactly there with you. I'm so curious to see how it works out. I essentially traded the 108 and 105 for Kenneth Walker and Devonta Smith. Good or bad move? Trade Walker. What are your feelings on Kenneth Walker?
Kenneth Walker is the guy who, if he could put together consistently 15, 16 games, he'd be right there at that RB4-5. But like every year, it's like it's a hamstring coming into the season. Then it's an oblique. But when he plays well, just inconsistent. I think the trade in and of itself is fine. I think Devonta Smith's going to continue to be a high-end wide receiver 2, borderline wide receiver 1. If it helps your team, and this is the part about rookie picks, just like you just said, you could be drafting the next Laquon Treadwell or Quentin Johnston or whomever. There's no guarantee. I mean, you can listen to all the podcasts, do all the research, do all of the things, and still wind up with a player who doesn't fire. Whereas you already know Devonta Smith and Kenneth Walker are going to produce, provided they're healthy. So I'm fine with that trade.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yes. But also, yeah, I would trade Walker. At RCOP17, what are some of the storylines and news you are following, you are all paying attention to this offseason that could impact fantasy football or dynasty? I coaching right now is the easiest. I mean, we've talked about so many of them.
Quarterback, too.
Yeah. Yeah, the coaches, Russell Wilson, where he's going to go, who's going to be the QB in Atlanta, Justin Fields, where's
Kirk Cousins going to go?
Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz. Like, yeah.
Because not only do the quarterbacks get a boost, but all the guys around them, their stock can raise or lower depending on Drake London and Kyle Pitts go way up if they get Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
It may go down if they get like a Ryan Tannehill, or it may stay the same. I don't know, but those are the things that I'm tracking. I want to see where the quarterbacks go.
Yeah, there's so much. There's a lot of really good stuff right now. And then he asks, favorite or best ride at Disney? I was there. Oh, wait, what was it? What did I say when you went to Disney, Rocky? You were like traversing the deserts of Philadelphia or something. Like,
something like that. Yeah, it was on like a vision quest or something. Yeah, I think.
Memphis, you a Disney guy?
I've been one time. The one that sticks out was the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Oh, God, no.
And then he would kill me because now he's 16 and a sophomore, junior, whatever, in high school. And my son, when he was real little, we got stuck on It's a Small World. And like it was not moving. Like something caused the ride to stop mid-ride. And he had to pee, and I was the loser in that. So I remember those two.
Oh my God, that's straight up pull your hair out. Oh man, I didn't do it this year, but I went on Tower of Terror like 12, 13 years ago, the last time I went to Disney. I exited the ride and literally sat down next to the garbage cans for like 20 minutes. I'm like, not going to move. I did not throw up. I just want to point that
have
out.
Have either of you done the Star Wars? I mean, I've not been there since they've added Star Wars. Is it as cool as it looks?
Yes. So they've gotten really, really, really good at rides that are almost in like free flowing carts and 3D glasses.
I was just going to say, I didn't have a specific ride. Like, I went in the last couple of years, but I've only gone like maybe 4 times in the last 20 years, something like that. And I didn't have a specific ride, but that's exactly what I was going to say is my favorite rides are the ones where you go in the carts and it's like you're immersed in some kind of universe. Like, I think there was a Spider-Man one I was on in one of those. It might not have been Disney. It might have been Universal or something like that. But yeah, those are my favorite ones because like you said, they do a really good job with it. And they'll add effect, like Spider-Man will be on top of something on fire and there'll actually be fire in there or something, or heat at least. They do a great job with this.
Like there was a Ratatouille ride where you're running around with Remy and you're like under the tables and because like in Ratatouille, he ends up in the oven and of course, like they pump heat in that right when that happens. Like and of course, they all get me nauseous. I get motion sickness on carousels at this point in my life. But, like, it was worth it. Like, those were absolutely worth it. Now I lost my place because I got way too into this. Goal would be to build on my process last season and try to be fluid in balancing value and production. Memphis, how much do you think about production in the non-point scoring season? Like, do you actually, like, how... Like the CMCs, the Debo Samuels, the guys that have much more fantasy value than dynasty value. Are you open to acquiring, like going to acquire them at this point in the non-point score, like so far away from setting lineups? Or do you literally just build dynasty value until you get close to lineup time?
When it comes to veterans like that, I'm like the bargain bin shopper. I'm going the next tier down. The CMCs and the guys like that, the Devontae Adams, that's a little too rich for my blood. I like shopping this time of the year with the Keenan Allens, the Mike Evans, the guys in that tier, because all they're going to do, I mean, I was just looking at this. Keenan Allen, I'm going to pull this up because even though he missed like the last 3 games,
he was crushing it.
He missed the last 4 games. He still finished as the wide receiver 8 on the season. So if you take out those games, so weeks 1 through 14, he was the wide receiver 3, averaging 21.5 points per game. Those are the kind of guys that I'm going to try to add. Nothing wrong with that next tier up. It's just going to cost you a little bit. So, and then, like I said, I like to look at guys and I like to project a little bit. Hey, who's going to get a quarterback upgrade? We mentioned Terry McLaurin earlier. You know, if he gets a significant quarterback upgrade, he may actually be able to kind of do what DJ Moore did this year and have a career year. So I'm looking at guys like that as well.
I love that Memphis mentioned Keenan Allen specifically because on last, I believe it was last week's show when you were out, Russ, there was a trade I made where I traded for Keenan Allen. In January. And that's exactly what it was. And this is exactly what I said last week. I knew the second the point scoring season was over, his value drops immensely. And yeah, I am thinking about production. I was in TA6 and I even said, I'm hoping to take down J Mike next year. I was very close this year. I lost in the semis. I would have beat J Mike if I had made the finals. I traded Josh Downs for him, which to me is the equivalent of a second round pick. So, yeah. And I was not getting Keenan Allen likely for Josh Downs in season. So, I like getting the Memphis said, the cheap discount on these guys. Especially the super old productive guys. I'm not as team old guy as many people think I am, but I will make these trades here and there. And I do think about the points, even this far out, just because you can get them so cheap.
It's funny, like people think you're team old guy because I constantly yell at you for not having young wide receivers on my team, on your teams that I.
Isn't that in one of the TA leagues? I have like every, not all of them are young, but I have like every wide receiver that you like.
Yes, there's. I can't remember.
Gavin Ridley's, Devonta Smith, I think.
Yeah. And well, spoiler alert, or I should say, a nice transition from you saying you were trying to beat J Mike at J Mike Check is our next question. He says, 2024 non-point scoring season goal: figure out how to celebrate my Trade Addicts three-peat like Rick. Like Ric Flair would. And then we get a champagne and the sunglasses emojis.
Perfect. Hey, Ric Flair said to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Yep.
And whether you like it or not, it's the best thing going today. So two claps and a Ric Flair for my man, J Mike. Always good to hear J Mike chime in.
Yep. And I love it when J Mike actually comes out with the confidence because he's too nice for it mostly. And I respect everyone listening to this show too much for me to yell the woo into the microphone right now and just hurt everyone's ears. And then he says, tell us your top three candidates for greatest heel turn for next season. Players who greatly underperform expectations and left you extra salty. Now, I'm going to go back to wrestling for a second. I haven't watched wrestling since the late 80s. And I have never been more crushed in my life than when Shawn Michaels back-kicked Marty Giannetti through the barbershop windows, breaking up the Rockers. Like, they were my jam. Like, they were my... And then just one day, it went away fast.
I was not expecting to hear the name Marty Giannetti on tonight's show, but yeah, but yeah, here we are. So he wants to know who's going to be the person who turns next year or the person who turned this year that's going to turn back next year.
Someone who's good this year that will be bad next year.
Oh, okay. I'm going to peruse for you for just a second. I know, this is tough.
And Roman in here saying HBK is the GOAT.
I can't,
Shawn Michaels had an amazing career and was great after The Rock, but like, I will never forgive him.
I got two candidates for you.
Go for it.
Travis Etienne and Rashad White.
Okay, so can we talk about the fact that ETN was only good because he was scoring two touchdowns a game?
Yeah, he got rough. I mean, he scored 26 PPR points in the last championship game. But before that, it was 6.5, 9, 12.5, 18, 17. I mean, a couple of good – I mean, but it was not very consistent. Whereas the first half of the season, he was on fire. But total points, he stayed healthy. He was the RB2 on the season.
I mean, like, I feel like the obvious answer is like the Genos of this year. Like, you know, maybe Baker goes back to being crap next year, you know, like if Tampa Bay brings it. But that's a little too easy.
Kyren Williams?
I was just going to say Kyren. You just stole my guy, Memphis.
Nah, so I never saw Kyren Williams being a workhorse, but I believed him, like he could be a pass catcher plus. You know, to again, Stack needs to tell me who's good, and I use his phrases to talk about certain players. Like Kyren Williams was a great pass catcher. He just ran a slow 40, and it destroyed his draft capital.
Go ahead, Rocky.
I was just going to say, that's the thing, though, is that he was a workhorse. Like, I pulled up his stats while you were talking. In 5, 6, 7 of his last 8 games, including, like, before his injury – I'm sorry, 7 of his last 9, he was at 20 carries or more, plus whatever he got in the receiving game. And he averaged over a touchdown a game this season, which I don't necessarily see repeating.
Yeah, either. That's pretty up there.
He had 15 touchdowns in, I think, 10 games or something like that, or 12 games.
That sounds good, but these numbers are awful reminiscent. Now, he didn't put the full season together of Todd Gurley, who also played in this offense. And Sean McVay's a pretty loyal guy. This is something that I've talked about on our show, that when I go to do like startups this year, I'll be looking to get those lease car running backs. And what's a lease car running back? It's a great question. I'm glad you asked. It's guys like Kyren Williams, Zamir White, Tajay Spears, these guys that are on their rookie deal. I only want them on my dynasty roster for their rookie deal. Because when they get off their rookie deal, they're likely to be the next Miles Sanderses of the world. But these guys, you're going to get them cheap. It's going to allow you to stack your Superflex roster. Like this year in Superflex, I'm going probably the first five picks, some combination of quarterback, running, wide receiver. Three wide receivers and two quarterbacks to start. Maybe a tight end in there and some tight end premiums, but I'm going to be looking to get more like the Kyren Williams type or trying to find the next Kyren Williams.
I mean, that's the, but it's always rough to do that at the beginning of the season. Like, that's why, you know, zero RB is what it is, because you find guys like that randomly throughout the season.
Well, you're going to hear a lot about guys like Tajay Spears and Zamir White this year, because both Josh Jacobs and Derrick Henry are free agents.
Yep.
So the natural 1+2 equals, you know, starter in Las Vegas.
Also, can I double down on crapping on Brock Purdy?
Please.
No, I mean, that's it. Just like the, he was, I'm not sure, I didn't pull up points per game, but he was QB six in TA scoring, which is, I never thought, even in total points, he would be QB six. And I kind of think, I know he has the weapons and maybe he can do it again. And with Shanahan's system, it's very feasible he could do it again, but I still think it's not QB six do it again.
Yeah, and also don't forget about the amount of QB injuries we had. Like, he could have a good season next year, but not be ranked as highly. Same thing with, like, Jordan Love. Njoku is one I worry about, because I've always liked him, and he did pretty well, like, the second half of last year also, but, like, it clicked this year, and I'm worried that it won't.
If you look at his three biggest scoring games of the season, they all come in week 15, 16, 17 with Joe Flacco. Yep. And Joe Flacco has always been a QB that hyper targets the tight end.
Yep.
Kind not the same style of quarterback, but like in the same way Kyler Murray, he loves the tight end position. He force fed Zach Ertz. It was very logical that he came in and fed Trey McBride. It just makes sense. So I agree with you. That's my concern with Njoku, is what happens when it's Deshaun Watson again in 2024.
But I did sort QBs by points per game after I said that. And it was, I actually, just as Memphis was saying it, I thought it was hilarious to see that Joe Flacco was the QB3 in points per game in an offense where Deshaun Watson was not doing that well when he was in there.
He won me a championship. Not going to be sad about it. My house just made a really weird noise. It freaked me out. At Roto Heat Craig, would you rather fight a moose or 11 emperor penguins?
I don't know the difference between an emperor penguin and a regular penguin, but I know they're not as big as a moose, and a moose has a chandelier on its head. So I'm not fighting the 2,000-plus pound animal with a set of razor wire for a crown.
It is the tallest and heaviest of all penguin species, reaching 100 centimeters in length, which I have no idea how much that is.
39 inches and could weigh up to 49 to 99 pounds.
Yeah, I see.
So, in the height of this, you know, 1 versus 100 animal thing, too many people started talking about it, and it always came down to usually picking the small amount. Now, 11 isn't that big, because it's not like 100 penguins. It's only 11. So I think I would take the 11 penguins also. Yes. But like, if it were 100, I would probably take my chances with the moose.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I think I could take on 11 penguins. Like Memphis said, the antlers are definitely a deterrent as well. That would be tough to go against.
The average moose, per Wikipedia, weighs between 850 and 1,500 pounds.
That's rough. I ain't taking on a moose.
Yeah, I can drop kick a couple of penguins.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't want to do either of those. Let me just put that out there. We at the Trade Addicts Podcast do not condone fighting animals. Moving on. Ascending Descent. Hell yeah, Memphis. He convinced me to like Jaden Reed. Smart man. What traits do you look for in rookie wide receivers? There are a few college tropes. Ohio State is a wide receiver factory. Iowa makes the tight ends, the tightest ends. Are there any of these tropes that you all agree or disagree with?
The one for me is the big body outside clasher is a thing of the past. I think Dez Bryant style is a thing of the past. I think we're looking, if you're looking for more of that modern archetype, you're looking at CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson. You're looking at those guys that can, Cooper Kupp, to a degree, guys who can line up on the outside, who can line up on the inside, who can go in motion. Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill may be both the fastest and the quickest wide receiver I've ever seen. Quick as it mean like he can like get open suddenly, but like his acceleration is just next level. I'm looking good route runners. But being 6'3" and 215 pounds does not mean what it used to mean to me.
The last thing Memphis said is the biggest thing for me is the route running. You don't have to be super fast. If you can run routes, you can get open and you can catch balls. Like Cooper Kupp is not super fast, but he's a good route runner. Like there's all kinds of guys like that you see. Keenan Allen is not fast. Nope. Good route runner. So
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes. It's just there's, and you don't even necessarily even have to be like super big either. Just to me, route running is one of the most important things. I mean, getting open is the name of the game, and that's what route running does for you.
Yeah. If I had to say like the perfect, it would be somewhere around 6 foot, 190 pounds, between a 4.4 and a 4.5 in speed, good agility metrics, and a quarterback who can actually throw the ball with anticipation.
Yeah,
that's why Cooper Kupp so good.
Yeah,
so Matthew Stafford puts the ball where he knows he's going to be because he trusts Cooper Kupp to run that route, and Cooper Kupp runs that route because he trusts Matt Stafford to put the ball. Yeah. Where I struggle with quarterbacks is that see it, throw it quarterback, and there's a lot of those. So those would be the things that I would look for, at least as my QB, as my wide receiver one.
Yeah, like the small, like everything they said is right, but the one thing that really I'm a sucker for is body control on the sideline. That's what made me fall in love with T. Higgins. Like, I randomly caught a couple of Clemson games his last year or two, and he just made some of these catches where he was, like, pirouetting in the air, his torso's in one direction, his feet parallel to the lines, his toes tap. He, in college, got both toes down. Like, it was just some of the best body control on the sidelines I've ever seen. And, you know, of course, slants and screens and everything are, you know, throwing people in open space is the name of the game now, but like you're not going to run away from back shoulder fades. There's not going to like, there's always going to be quick out routes. And like, to me, having a big bodied wide receiver that can do that kind of body movement to me is like chef's kiss. And to me, that's what made me fall in love with T. Higgins. Where was I? There's so many of these questions. College tropes. Man, the one thing that really worries me, USC quarterbacks. That one scares me. Like, we have to go back to, like, sorry, Sam Darnold, but we have to go back to what, like, Carson Palmer?
Yeah, but they said the same thing about Ohio State, and here we are with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just I have less of a problem with Caleb Williams than I do with the term generational.
That means nothing anymore.
Yeah, it's just the hyperbolic thing that we throw on a guy. I think Caleb's really good. I think he's the best quarterback prospect we've had since Trevor Lawrence, who was the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. I'm not really to label any of them good or bad or generational, but yeah, that's the big thing for me is I try to avoid the hyperbole this time of year.
And I will give any workhorse Wisconsin running back a shot.
Yeah, that's true. you want to fade TCU wide receivers. It's the Jalen Reagor, Quentin Johnston corollary.
Baylor wide receivers.
Baylor wide receivers, yeah. Big 12, I guess CeeDee Lamb was Big 12, but Texas Big 12 wide receivers.
There you go. At FF Tommy B., for Memphis, what is your favorite good people bad tweet?
Oh man, there's been so many, and that's a segment for those that don't know. That's a segment we do on the show. So, our listeners, our patrons, sometimes I find them. It's just somebody who tweets something that's like it's a bad tweet, and we've all seen those tweets. It's like that's a bad tweet. so we just put it on the show. And we call it good people, bad tweets. And then we close the segment with a sound drop from Dana White, UFC president Dana White. And, but we call it good people because I truly believe the fantasy space is full of some of the nicest, most genuine people in the world. But even And sometimes you do good people, good tweets. It's not always bad tweets. As far as one, I could not. There's been some doozies. There was an analyst that had Ja'Marr Chase like eighth in that rookie class that year.
That's just trying.
And stood on it. So, tune into the Dynasty Warzone every Thursday for the remainder of the offseason. I guess the NFL playoff season, we get into February. We'll be back to live on Sunday nights. But, the next – how about this? I'll end it on this. The best good people bad tweets is the next one.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
And then Frank throwing it in my face, Josh Doctson, also a TCU.
Yep, see, I forgot about Doctson. That
one crushed me.
Who was Coleman. Coleman. Yeah. That was Baylor.
Yeah. I drafted a lot of draft. Same draft. Yeah. Right next to each other. Yeah. Also, with
I was going to be Russ. Yeah.
We're going to move on. For Russ, do turtleneck sweaters make you feel smarter, strangled by a weak foe? Both. All I know is Archer has taught me that they're very good for spy missions. They're very tactical. Glasses make me feel smarter. These don't actually have any prescription in them. They're just for show. I've been doing that since I was 8 to try and feel smarter. That's not true. For Rocky, if you had to try an entirely new food, what would it be?
I almost never look at the show sheet ahead of time anymore. So I just saw this question like 10 minutes ago. I don't know for sure. Memphis doesn't know. I don't know if Memphis listens every week. I have the worst food takes and worst palate on the face of the earth.
He eats like a child. I've seen.
Yes, basically. I know something I did try in the last couple of years that I was surprised and actually really like, which was an entirely new food for me, which was jambalaya. That my wife makes, so with the rice, I don't really like rice, but it's obviously rice and it's
the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Chicken and shrimp. And she started putting this certain kind of sausage in it recently, and which I really like. So that's when I've tried like probably the most recent thing as an adult that I never ate before. And I tried it and I liked it. And we eat it all the time now for dinner. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Like if I had to try an entirely new food, what would it be? I have tried a lot of foods. It's not that I'm not like a 12-year-old in the sense I won't try anything. I just don't like anything. So I don't know. Give me some recommendations. Maybe I'll try something I've never tried before. I don't know.
All right. Last question we got at Buffer 9442. In Superflex, is it a mistake to make Marvin Harrison Jr. at the 101 over all the quarterbacks? He has more, but let's start with that one. I don't think there, honestly, like, I think we live in a world where there are no mistakes. You take who you want.
Every roster is different.
One, they already, like, they have been talking that they want Marvin Harrison Jr. at the 101. And I'm like, all right, I'm sure anybody would be thrilled to get Caleb at 2. And then they just reply, they'd be thrilled to get Marvin Harrison Jr. at 2. And I'm like, fair.
I mean, everybody's happy, but it's like we were just talking about that team that I have all those first. I have Anthony Richardson and Joe Burrow. I wouldn't need Caleb Williams in that scenario. So there's nothing wrong with going to get Marvin Harrison there.
I somewhat agree with that. I still think I would want to take the quarterback at the 101 or trade back.
Can do that. Maybe you can find the GM who's got like 3. Maybe you're super high on Harrison, but you like Neighbors and Adunze, and you're happy to get any of them. So if you can trade back to, say, 3 or 4 and pick up additional assets or capital along the way, I'm totally good with that move too. That's the one thing about getting the 101 is it's got a ton of value, especially when you have, like, last year it was Bijan Robinson as a prospect. This year it's Caleb Williams. A couple of years ago it was Trevor Lawrence. There's always going to be that one. And this year we actually have Marvin Harrison Jr. at the wide receiver position. So do your thing.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, I mean, if he pans out to be like Justin Jefferson level good, then it's fine taking him at the 101. Otherwise, I mean, I'm not big on paying up for quarterbacks, but I do subscribe to taking them in the rookie draft because they do hold value for a long time. You could get a first for friggin' Zach Wilson for like a year and a half. And if the guy is good, you can get a ton for him, even if you don't need a quarterback. That can happen at wide receiver, but they often don't bust out right out of the gate, even if they are really good, if they end up really good. Some of them do, but even some of the really good, like even Justin Jefferson took a little while to get going that rookie year. And some guys don't have great rookie years and then turn into amazing wide receivers like Devontae Adams. So I just would rather have the quarterback or like I said, more preferably, if I can even trade back like to 2 or 3 and then take Harrison and just get anything on top of the 101. On top of the 102 or 103 for the 101.
Yeah, I mean, Rocky's answer is my answer too. It's like, me personally, I draft for value, you know, trade for need and trade for what you want. But that's me. That's how I play. No one should play how I play, no less. No one should have to play how I play. So absolutely, you want Marvin Harrison, you take Marvin Harrison, you should take 101. Like there's, don't overthink it.
I agree with that too. If that's fun for you, just go ahead and do it. Like, yeah, it's not the end of the world if Caleb Williams ends up being worth more than Marvin Harrison.
You didn't make a bad pick if you take Marvin Harrison Jr.
That's really what it also comes down to. It is not a bad pick. That is a very good way to phrase it. Also has the 104 and 105, but very torn on who to take at the 101. Well, you're going to get some good wide receivers. That you are, and maybe Brock Bowers if there's tight end premium.
You got to ask yourself, do you want Caleb Williams and like Rome Odunze, or do you want Marvin Harrison Jr. and Drake May? Because you can probably have both, or maybe it's Jaden Reed or something like that. But
you take the 4 and 5, trade up to get like the 2 and a 2nd, and then you just take Williams and Marvin Harrison
Jr. And what I do is I don't make any of those trades until we get to the draft day.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah.
Because don't get in a hurry, because right now we just know names and we start stack ranking the names. But once they start get drafted to certain positions, and let's just be honest, some positions are going to be, and some teams are going to be considered a better landing spot than others. And that's going to inflate value of certain picks. You're in a great position with the 1, 4, and 5. So you're not setting a lineup for about 10 months. So just be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. You have a position of power having those 3 picks. Ride it out, because it's only going to get more valuable. Non-point scoring season goal is to try a new / outside the box roster building strategy in one of my leagues. I did that like 2 years ago, where I just started getting running backs in Trade Addicts 3, and I think it's going to start biting me in the ass soon. Though I do have like DK and Chris Olave, so I feel okay about my situation. But like, I have like Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, and Christian McCaffrey. So like, I feel like half my team's going to get screwed pretty quickly. Yeah. But that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Memphis, for coming on. It is always wonderful to speak to you, as always, with you, not to you, because you were here also doing some talking. But before we head out of here, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
You can find me at Dynasty Warzone. Just search it on Apple or YouTube. We have our own channel, and then we simulcast, or I guess you can find it in both places at Player Profiler. Subscribe to both channels, because I'll be doing additional stuff this year. I'll be doing some more rookie stuff for the Player Profiler group. They're trying to talk me into doing rankings. I've kind of already done them, so we'll have some Memphis rankings on a site officially. It's been about 5 years. The last time I had rankings on a site, it was our friends over at the Dynasty Happy Hour with Tyler and the crew. But just at DWZ Memphis, I do a terrible job of retweeting my own stuff, but I do a great job of retweeting others. So just follow along, and we'll talk Dynasty all off season.
There you go. And what do we do? Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can hang out with us while we record. See not only mine and Rocky's beautiful faces, but the beautiful, beautiful man sitting below us on the screen. I can't call you Randy. It's just weird. You're Memphis to me. You will always be Memphis. You get to see this beautiful man's face and, you know, make fun of Rocky talking about Brock Purdy. Whatever you want to do while we're in here. Also, we have our Cool Kids Club on Discord. And as always, as I'm ending all of these shows, fantasycares.org is what everything is all about right now. I think we just filled up the playoff league, so I can't even go pimping that out right now. I know we still have our football guys championship campaign going where you select a player who helped you win your championship and it'll get donated to that player's charity and football guys will match. I believe it was up to $10,000. So go check that out. And or just donate to fantasycares.org or anyone in general. Like, we just got all of our payouts. If it's not in your league, just throw some of your fun money to someone who needs it. That's really the idea behind Fantasy Cares in general. If it's to us, that's awesome. If it's not, just give it to someone, a cause that means something to you. And I'm like falling asleep while talking, so I'm just going to say good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ.
Thank you for listening to the Great Attic Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Attic Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Attic. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Great Attic Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.